Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
It's October, and that means it's hunting season. And the video just saw demonstrated one technique that hunters use in trying to bag a bull elk, and that's bugling. And they'll either make the sound of another male elk or of a cow, a female elk. And the whole thing about bugling, for the elk, it means one of two things. If they hear another bull elk call, they want to defend their territory. They want to protect their harem. And so it's about protecting what they have. Or if they hear a cow call, it's a mating opportunity or maybe to add one to their harem. But the thing about bugling is it's a trap. It's a trap. And it looks good on the outside. It looks like an opportunity to help the elk, to either protect its interest or to gain something. But the reality is it's destructive and it will hurt him. Now, I don't know about you, but that video, I mean, that was a pretty close elk. I think I could hit an elk at that close. I probably would have shot a little bit sooner, but at the same time, you move. What if that elk would have charged? Boy, you know, just kind of scary thought there. But here's the thing about a trap. Traps involve deception. Realize that? Every trap, a mouse trap, there's a deception. You think, you know, there's cheese or peanut butter, whatever's in the trap, the mouse thinks it's going to get something. Traps have bait, something that's enticing, something that looks good. Traps involve a deception. This morning, we're starting a series called Trapped. Over the next 6 weeks, we are going to look at six different traps the devil uses to try to lure us in to destroy us. If you'd take out your notes this morning from your bulletin, we have your sermon notes, and then on the inside and the back, we have some homework. This is for you to use in your own devotions. All of our life groups, this is your study work, what we'll be using in life groups, and just want to draw your attention to that. But if you take a look at your notes there, it says, the devil lures us into his traps by believing lies. That's how the devil traps us. There's a deception, there's lies, and if we believe the lies, then the devil snares us and he traps us. He is a deceiver. And this is seen in several ways. People have a whole world view or false philosophies that are wrong. Sometimes it's just a perspective on one thing or a few different areas in life. Maybe it's about people. Maybe it's about spiritual matters. Maybe it's even how life or spirituality is to be done. And when we believe the lie, the deception, it looks good to us. It looks like it's going to benefit us, or it looks like it will protect us. But the reality is, it really hurts us. And here's the thing, looking back at your notes, the way out of the trap is to reject the lie and embrace the truth. That's the only way out of the lie, out of the trap, is to reject it and realize it is wrong, it is false, it is not right, and to embrace the truth and make the truth part of your life. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth sets us free from the traps of the devil. Now, for some of you here this morning, maybe this is your first time with us. Maybe it's your first time in church or your first time in a very, very long time. And we want you to know that you are welcome here. We're really glad you've joined us today. We hope you'll be back for the next few weeks as we do this series. But maybe the reason you haven't been in church or don't have much use for church is because your viewpoint about God, and maybe you've come to believe something that is untrue about God. You don't realize it's untrue, but it is untrue, and you think of God as a certain way, and that's put up a wall and a barrier. And our hope is that over the next few weeks, you will begin to realize that some of these things that you've been led to believe are wrong, and you will embrace the truth, and it will help you.
And that's not only our hope for it, those who are here for the first time, those that don't go to church much, but for everyone here. Because I know of Christians that also buy into the lies of the devil. They buy in to his deceptions, and they become trapped. And this morning, I hope all of you would say, I want all of God's truth in my life. I don't want any deceptions. How many would be willing to say that I am willing to let go of any lies I've been believing? Many of you are, okay? I want you to say this. If you are, I want you to say this with me right now. Father God, you know all the wrong things I've been believing. I'm willing to let them go. Reveal your truth and set me free. Amen. If that's your heart, I'm believing God will set you free from anything that's been holding you hostage. You may not even realize it's holding you hostage, but I pray that God will set you free. Okay, let's take a look at Judges chapter 14. And this morning, we're going to examine the first trap, which is the pleasure trap. The pleasure trap. And these traps are not in any order, but this is the first one we're starting with today. And take a look at your notes this morning. The lie, the deception that the devil has us believe is that pleasure is the way to happiness. Pleasure is the way to happiness. If I do what I please, if I indulge my physical appetites, if I satisfy my desire, then I will be happy. Now, Samson was like this. His life was never a life of restraint. It was always doing anything he wanted, whenever he wanted, with whoever he wanted. He would be the poster boy for pleasure. He's the poster boy for pleasure. Samson had a mission from God to set the nation of Israel free from the Philistines. The Philistines were oppressing God's people, and Samson, God had called him even from birth, even when he was before he was born, to set Israel free. But the problem is that Samson, even though he went about God's mission, he did it with his own indulgence in what he wanted, not doing things the way God wanted. Samson had incredible, unexplained strength. He was a Nazarite from birth, and that means three things. There were three parts of the Nazarite vow. First, he couldn't eat or drink anything made from grapes, okay? Nothing from grapes, no grape juice, no wine, no grapes, no nothing, all right? Secondly, he could not touch a dead body. And third, he could not cut his hair. And as long as his Nazarite vow was intact, Samson had his strength. But here's the thing, his love for pleasure caused him to break all three portions of his vow. He cut short his mission from God, and he died an early death. He found out the hard way that pleasure is not the way to happiness. Take a look at your notes this morning. There's a couple observations here about pleasure. First of all, number one, pleasure lives for now. Pleasure lives for now. What's taking place immediately right now with no regard for the future? Pleasure lives for now with no regard for the future. If we take a look in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah." Now I'm going to stop right here. Timnah was noted for its vineyards. They grew grapes there. Notice that Samson is deliberately going near a place which conflicts with his vow. Not a very good move, but that's what he's doing. He goes to Timnah, and he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife." Then his father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all of my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Notice Samson's approach to marriage. He just meets this girl, he has a good time, and he wants to get married. He's not considering, is she a suitable life partner? Is she trustworthy? Is she loyal? Is she faithful? Is she dependable? Is she lazy or is she industrious? Samson only thinks about the now. What satisfies me at the moment? Does she make me happy? Does she please me? He's not thinking long term. He is impulsive and he lives for instant gratification. And as we take some snapshots in Samson's life, we're going to see several pictures of where Samson just lives for the moment. And that's what pleasure does. When pleasure is our trap, we only live for the now, and we're just throwing our future away, and it can possibly destroy us. In your notes, there are some typical pleasure traps, and we're going to talk about these this morning. The first pleasure trap is relationships. Relationships. Samson thought this lady could make him happy. And he wanted her because she pleased him. Now, I've known people that jump from one relationship to another, to another, to another. And they're always looking for someone to make them happy. Do you know someone like that? I mean, they maybe date someone, they date them a few weeks, date them a few months, and then that one doesn't work out, and they got to find someone else. They're looking for someone else to make them happy, to make them complete. Here's the thing, no person can make you happy. No person can make you happy. If you are not happy on the inside, if you're not satisfied and content on the inside, another person will not do that for you. I just want to take a moment and talk to our singles, talk to our youth, our young people for a moment. Don't just marry the first person who takes interest in you, okay? Don't do that. They may not be the right one. Don't, just because, I know someone who got married because they thought there would be no one else out there for them. That is not a good reason to get married. It's not for fire insurance, okay? Well, if I don't, I'll be an old maid my entire life. You are better off waiting. My sister waited till she was 27, and all of her friends were getting married off, and she was feeling like, what's wrong with me? But she didn't panic. She waited. There was a few guys she was dating. They were no good. You talk about us praying? Oh, man, we were praying. They weren't Christians. They were bad. Thank you, Jesus, she didn't do that. But that's the thing. So many of us, and when we're single, is there anyone out there for me? And we panic. Don't marry the first person who shows you interest. Secondly, don't stay with someone who disrespects you. If they belittle you or manipulate you, or especially if they're physically abusive, but even if they're emotionally, verbally abusive, don't stick around someone like that. Don't let, because it's only going to get worse when you get married. Don't stick with someone like that. Don't be blinded by someone who is charming, showers you with gifts or compliments. Get to know their character. Get to know someone's character. Are they going to stick with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly? You know, there was a few weeks ago, I was at a wedding, and there came time for the vows. And they said, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And when those words came across, immediately I was thinking of my wife's condition. And it just struck me with, wow, in sickness and in health, I'm going to be committed to her. For better or for worse, I'm going to be committed to her. And it was like, yeah, I'm in it for the long haul, no matter what. And many times when couples say those words, they don't really consider, what does that mean? Is this a person you can stick with no matter what happens to them? No matter what their health is like? No matter what happens to them? It's something to think about. And here's the thing. Character is what matters. Beauty, it fades. Good looks fade. That physique, you know, the chest drops into the drawers, okay? You will not look the way you looked at 27 when you're 70, okay? You look differently. It's funny, I was not feeling well the past few days, so I had not shaved since Thursday. And when I went to shave, and my beard had grown, I realized there's a whole lot of white hair there. Boy, okay, we're not going to full beard, okay? If this thing gets too white, it's going off too, all right? But we all change. We look different. But here's the thing. A person of character who's trustworthy and loyal, dependable, loving, kind, patient, faithful, diligent, industrious, that's the kind of person you can commit to and you will enjoy life with. Look at a person's character. Pick someone who's worthy of you. You are a king. The Bible says we are kings and priests. If you're a child of God, you're kings and priests. Ladies, you're a queen, okay? So pick a king. Don't pick a court jester. Men, you're kings. So pick a lady who's a queen, not someone who, I won't even use the words, okay? But pick someone who is worthy of you. Young people, marry up, all right? Don't just settle for something. Marry up. Marry someone who has a passion for God. Because if they're seeking first the kingdom and you're seeking first the kingdom, everything else is going to be added to you, all right? There are some married couples this morning. You need to take these words to heart. Because when it comes to richer, poorer, better, worse, sickness and health, you haven't really been committed to the other, to your partner the way you need to be. And if that's you, I want you to put your relationship first. Hear me. Stop the stupidity. Stop the selfishness. Serve each other. Love each other. Help each other. Pray for each other. Start apologizing when you're wrong. Start communicating. Start taking time for each other. I can't tell you how many relationships I've seen. There's no time spent, and the couple drifts away, and they're in their own world. It's sad. It is so sad. Put your spouse and their needs ahead of your own, and you'll have a great marriage. All right, that's the first trap, the trap of relationships, thinking someone else will satisfy you, going after a relationship that's not healthy. That's the first trap the devil has for us. Let's take a look at another trap people fall prey to. And by the way, these are all traps that Samson fell into. And the second trap there in your notes is partying. Party hardy. We see in Judges chapter 14, the last part of the verse, it says, Samson gave a feast there for young men used to do so. And that word feast in the Hebrew language, it means drinking. So Samson threw a drinking party. And about 30 guys came to it. Now, we're not told what they drank, but because Timnah was well noted for its vineyards, it was probably wine. And so Samson broke the first part of his vow. This party was a week-long wedding party, a week-long bachelor party. And here's the thing. Why did Samson do it? Because it says the young men used to do so. Everyone else does it. How many times do you hear someone say that? Well, everyone else is doing it. And then, parents say to their kids, well, if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you do it? But here's the thing. So many times people party for acceptance. They want to fit in. Everyone else is doing it. And so they want to be accepted as part of the crowd. Some people party for a sense of community. They're lonely. And there's something about when they're in the party and they're drinking or they're doing the drugs, whatever it is, that they just feel this sense of everyone's doing it. I've got friends. There's a closeness there. But when the party is over, that community is gone. And they're back to feeling isolated and lonely again. Nobody cares. Some people party to forget their pain. Life is stressful. How many know that life is stressful? Life can be painful. And some people, to get out of their pain, they party, and that's what gives them this sense of pleasure. It's not real pleasure, but if they can forget their problems, if they can forget what they're going through with drugs or alcohol, then that gives them a sense of relief for a while. And so they party to get rid of their pain. Some people do it to forget their boredom. They're bored in life. They have no sense of purpose. They're bored with their marriage. And so they party. They do drugs. They do alcohol just to give them some kind of a thrill to take the numbness and the boredom away. There's lots of reasons to party, but partying does not bring happiness. It'll only bring an addiction in time. Partying will destroy you. There's another trap that Samson fell in, another pleasure trap, and that is the trap of finances. Samson fell into the trap of finances. He wanted to get rich quick. He gambled. Look at the bet he entered into with the 30 guys that came to his party. It's found in verse 11 of chapter 14. It happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within 7 days of the feast, then I'll give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you can't explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." They said to him, "Pose your riddle that we may hear it." Now the men could not figure out what Samson's riddle was, and it was based on a run-in that he had with a lion in the previous chapter. You can read chapter 13. That talks about Samson's birth and his life up to this point. But he ran into a lion, and the guys could not figure it out. What happened is these guys go to Samson's wife, and they said, "We're going to kill you if you don't tell us what this riddle was." So she nags Samson. And she nags and she nags and she nags. Okay, guys, listen to me. If your girlfriend is nagging you now, she will continue to nag you in the future. Don't marry a nagging girlfriend, okay? Look at the character again. It's all about character. All right. And she nags and nags, and finally, Samson gives in. He gives the answer to her. She goes and tells the guys, and the guys give him the answer, and he owes them 30 changes of clothing. What does Samson do? Samson goes to another Philistine town. He kills 30 men, and he takes their clothes off them. Do you realize when he touches the corpse, the dead body, to take the clothes off, he has just broken the second part of his vow? He broke that vow to satisfy his gambling debt, his pleasure, his desire to get rich quick. That's what gambling does to us. Gambling is a trap. Don't gamble. Don't gamble. Don't get into the lottery. Don't get into going to casinos. Don't do that, because it is addictive. More people today are losing their families, their homes, everything because of gambling. It's one of the most destructive forces in our society today. But gambling isn't the only financial trap people fall into. Sometimes it's poor money management. Spending money on things that they don't have the money to pay for. You know, that credit card, that's really nice. I can get it now. I can live for the moment without thinking of the future, of not having any idea how you're going to pay for it. But I can enjoy it now. Manage your money well. Have a budget. Only use your credit card if you can pay it off the next month. If you can't pay it off, don't buy it. Learn to save. Don't fall into that trap. I have seen people who make a lot of money and they want a new toy, want to go on an exotic trip, you know, they want a new car, new furniture. I've seen them fall into the money trap, but I've also seen people who are poor fall into the money trap. They don't make a lot, but you know, they go and they buy out, or they're buying a lot of clothes or buying a lot of video games, you know, just buying a lot of everything. You can be rich or poor and still be a poor money manager. Don't let finances be your trap. Make sure you're saving for an emergency fund that if something happens, you've got it. Just don't spend everything you make. That's dangerous. Be wise in your money. The final pleasure trap that Samson fell for was sexual gratification. Sexual gratification, there in your notes. Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza, saw a harlot there, and went into her. You know, Samson was all about having a good time. And there are some people, they're about just having a good time. They go from one sexual exploit to another, one conquest to another. I remember I went to high school with this one guy, and he went on three separate dates in one day. He took one girl to a movie in one town. It was a matinee in early afternoon. Then he took another girl out for a date for dinner. And then he took another girl out on a date at a late night movie. And his goal was to get whatever he could at every opportunity. That's how he lived his life. But sexual gratification is a trap. Don't fall into that. Now, there are some people, they say, well, I won't go that route, but they fall into pornography and or fantasizing about things, or they fall into lust. Those are traps, and they will destroy your life. Pleasure is not the way to happiness. These are the traps that Samson was snared by. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're in one of those traps, or maybe God's speaking to you about another trap that you're in. There's too many to name, but here's the thing. I want you to realize that there is no pleasure that can make you happy, no matter what the reason is. There's no pleasure. You need to be willing to let that pleasure go because it will destroy you. Okay, let's take a look at the second observation about pleasure, and it's there in your notes. Number two, pleasure blinds us to the danger around us. Pleasure blinds us to the danger around us. Take a look at Judges chapter 16. Flip forward a couple pages. We're going to take a look at verse 4. This is the part of the story that if you grew up in Sunday school, this is probably the common part of the story that you know about. Samson and Delilah. Verse 4, it happened after he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone is trying to find out how I can be destroyed, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this is not a good person to hang around, right? And yet, Samson sticks with her. And as you read through the rest of the chapter, I encourage you to read this on your own sometime this week. He first says, well, if you bind me with, you know, 7 new ropes and 7 bowstrings, and she keeps nagging him. There's that nagging again. What is it? What is it? And finally he gets closer. He says, well, if you take the 7 locks of my hair and weave them into the loom. He's getting closer and closer to the truth. And eventually he tells her all of his heart. And what happens is he gets a haircut. And the third part of his vow is now broken. And the pleasure trap destroyed Samson. The Philistines come, they gouge his eyes out, and they put him in prison. What is so sad is that if Samson would have just followed God's plan and surrendered his desires, he could have had a great life. Pleasure will destroy you. It's not the way to happiness. No wonder the King Solomon of Israel wrote in Proverbs 21:17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He'll be a poor man. Samson was left with nothing. The lie that pleasure is the way to happiness turned out to destroy him. He was blind to the danger around him. He didn't see it. She was trying to destroy him, but because he wanted her so much and it was all about pleasure, he was blind to it. What are you being blinded to today by your pleasure? What are you being blinded by? That's why I had each one of us say this morning, God, I'm willing to let go. Show me, reveal to me the traps, the lies that I've been believing. So what is the truth? If the lie is pleasure is the way to happiness and that's not true, then what is the real way to happiness? What is the truth? Take a look at your notes. Loving God is the way to happiness. That is the way to happiness, is loving God, putting God first in your life. We see in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Say forevermore. If you want pleasures forevermore, if you want lasting happiness, then loving God, having His presence close in your life is the key to it. So how do we love God? Quickly, I'm going to give you 3 points, okay? 3 quick points on how do we love God. Number one, hang out with godly friends. Hang out with godly friends. Samson didn't. Never, as you read Judges 13 to 16, the whole account of Samson's life, he never hung out with godly friends. The only positive influence was his parents, and he ignored them. We see in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Now, here's the thing. Many times, we as parents, we say that to our kids. We quote that to our kids. I know I've said it to my kids several times. But here's the thing. Paul didn't write that to teenagers. He wrote that to the church, to the adults, because he knew that evil company, even when you're an adult, corrupts good habits. It takes you down the wrong way. So who are you hanging out with right now? Do they love God? Are they going after God? Are they going after a positive spiritual direction in their life? If not, then you need to sever ties with them because they will drag you down. For some of you, that means not talking to them anymore, not texting anymore, not hanging out with them anymore. You might be very lonely for a while till you make new friends, but you need to hang out with godly people. You need to break bad ties or it'll tear you down. Godly friends will help you love God. The second key to loving God, here in your notes, take a look at your notes. Spend regular time in God's presence. Spend regular time in God's presence. The only record of prayer in Samson's life was in times of crisis. You can jot these references down so you see them. But in chapter 15:18 and 16:28. Those are the two times of crisis. In 15:18, Samson's dying of thirst. He had just killed the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, which, by the way, the jawbone of a donkey, that's part of a corpse. You see, when you first break one part of a commitment to God, it's easier to compromise later on. That happened after he touched the 30 bodies and took their clothes. But it went after a jawbone of a donkey, he's sitting out in the wilderness and he's dying of thirst, or so he feels, and that's when he cries out to God. And then the last time is at the end of his life, with his eyes gouged out, he's blind, and he has a young boy take him to the Philistine temple, to the main supporting pillars in the middle, and he prays to God and he says, "God, this one last time, give me strength so I can avenge the Philistines for my eyes." You know, I find it kind of interesting. If he believed that God could give him his strength back, could if he believed, "God, give me my sight back and my strength so that I can keep on doing your mission?" Why not? But he never even gave God that chance, because he's just thinking about revenge, thinking about himself again. Now, God did give him the strength, and he killed more Philistines in his death than in his life. But it's sad that Samson didn't cultivate a life of regular prayer, because that is a key way. As we're talking and conversing with God, that's how we get close to him. Then the last way that we love God is to surrender our desires to the will of God. You and I must surrender our desires to the will of God. Samson tried doing God's will while he satisfied his own pleasures. He was trying to fight the Philistines, trying to set Israel free, but he was more consumed with what he wanted than with what God wanted. And whenever those two came in conflict, Samson's desires won out. And so here's the thing. When pleasing yourself conflicts with pleasing God, who wins out in your life? When you want to do something, but you know that God would rather have you do something else, who wins out in your life? Do your decisions put you in compromising situations? Do they open you up to temptation? Or do they set you up for honoring Christ? Does your pleasure keep you from spending adequate time with Jesus? You're so involved in your pleasures that you don't have time. You've crowded out spending regular time with Jesus. Does your pleasure keep you from prioritizing relationships with your spouse and kids? Or does it keep you from neglecting, does it cause you to neglect your responsibilities? If pleasure is your trap, it will destroy you. And you can be a Christian trying to do God's will, but if you don't surrender your desires, you will not effectively love God. I want to wrap this up today by reading something Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon was very rich, very successful, very wise. He was more prosperous than any other king. And this is what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in the Message version. It says, I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it, nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane, insane. My verdict on the pursuit of happiness, who needs it? With the help of a bottle of wine and all the wisdom I could muster, I tried my level best to penetrate the absurdity of life. I wanted to get a handle on anything useful we mortals might do during the years we spend on this earth. Oh, I did great things, built houses, planted vineyards, designed gardens and parks, and planted a variety of fruit trees in them, made pools of water to irrigate the groves of trees. I bought slaves, male and female, who had children, giving me even more slaves. Then I acquired large herds and flocks, larger than any before me in Jerusalem. I piled up silver and gold, loot from kings and kingdoms. I gathered a chorus of singers to entertain me with song, and most exquisite of all pleasures, voluptuous maidens for my bed. Oh, how I prospered! I left all my predecessors in Jerusalem far behind, left them behind in the dust. What's more, I kept a clear head through all of it. Everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse, held back nothing. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task, my reward to myself for a hard day's work. Then I took a good look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and hard work, but when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. You know what that gets you when you live in Wyoming, huh? Right back in your face. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. Solomon indulged every pleasure, and he says it's not the way to happiness. Samson got involved in the pleasure trap, and it destroyed him.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.